It's time for Talk Law Radio with Todd Marquardt. Todd Marquardt, attorney at law in Texas. If you're a millionaire or a thousandaire, Talk Law Radio is now on the air. Call in with your business law question, your elder law question, veteran aid, Medicaid, build a business to get paid. 210-308-8867. Or ask a question online at marquardtlawfirm.com. That's M-A-R-Q-U-A-R-D-T, lawfirm.com. And now, it's Talk Law Radio with Todd Marquardt.
Welcome to Talk Law Radio. I'm Todd Marquardt on KLUP 930 AM The Answer. Podcasts everywhere, Facebook Live, YouTube, and talklawradio.com. Today's going to be a very special edition of Talk Law Radio. I'm here with my dad, Dr. Terry Marquardt, and we're going to be talking about his music career, which spans his whole life, as opposed to optometry and laser surgery, which was just a short time, 50 years, right?
Yes, 46 years.
Thank you for joining me.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
It's so awesome for you to agree to put yourself through all this production so that I can have a good show.
Yeah, well, I'm used to that. You know, I was in the legislature, so I had to make a lot of speeches, and I had to be on TV a lot. So it's great. It's a great coming back for me.
That's right. And I want to remind you that you introduced me to radio.
Yeah?
Because you were supposed to be on somebody's radio show, but you also had another campaign event. And so you told them that I was going to fill in for you. And I talked about some of your accomplishments and some of the bills that you had introduced. And that's really all I remember about it.
Well, you were always a great asset to my administration.
Thank you for saying so.
Yeah.
I did give speeches also.
Yeah.
So that was... The radio appearance was probably after some experience giving live speeches.
Well, the biggest thing you ever did for me was going door to door, and as a little 10-year-old kid saying, "Hi, I'm Todd Marquardt, and I'm here to ask you to vote for my dad." And that that helped a lot.
It did. It helped me to communicate with people and to confront new and circumstances, that's the word I want.
Like a threatening environment for
that's
a little
right.
kid. Yeah.
Strangers. But today we're going to be talking about your music career. And so first I want to go down memory road, but I have to mention one of our sponsors, Hector Sines, who's a business consultant and tax specialist with Liberty Tax Service, South San Antonio. You can call Hector Sines if you want to talk about year-end tax planning at 210-355-3267, 210-355-3267, or email hector.sines, that's S as in Sam, A-E, N as in Nancy, Z, at libertysouthsan.com. And you can discuss your unique circumstances for year-end tax planning with him. But before we get started, I like to start with a prayer.
Sure.
Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the gifts that you have given us. And we pray that you would forgive us of our sins and of our mistakes and for failing to follow your will. Please help Dad and me have a good conversation on the radio about Dad's music career. Help us to do everything we do for the good of your people, for our own good, and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we're also thankful for Hector because tax laws are always changing, and it's important that you have a consultant that keeps you up to date on that. And it's important for us because he helps keep us on the air.
That's right. Thank you, Hector. So today, like I said, we're going to be talking to my dad, Dr. Terry Marquardt, about his legacy or legacies. The only thing longer than your career in optometry and laser surgery is your music career, which started when you were 5 years old. So we'll get into that and we'll listen and watch as we stroll down memory lane with the man, the myth, the legend, Dr. Terry Marquardt.
Orale!
Okay, so we're starting with our bonus segment, which airs on Sundays. But you can also tune in on Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock in the morning, where I talk about hidden legal issue blind spots, like taxes, like estate planning, and like anything. If you know of some law that you're confused about or that you want more information on, give me a call at 210-308-8867 or email me at host@talklawradio.com. That's host@talklawradio.com. So I just want to remind everybody, you've already been on the show two times, but we might be talking with other listeners today that might not know you so well. So just give us a little bit of background, where you grew up and what you did for a living, and then I'll ask you about your music.
Oh, well, I'm Todd Marquardt's dad, and I was born in Alamogordo, New Mexico, and born and raised there, went to public high school there, went to the University of New Mexico, went to the Southern College of Optometry in Memphis, Tennessee. Practiced optometry and laser surgery until I retired approximately 2 years ago. I'm still licensed in Texas, New Mexico, and Colorado, but I haven't seen a patient in a couple of years.
And during COVID, you volunteered to help people get vaccinated.
Yeah, absolutely. That was right when I was entering retirement. And so I provided injections for the COVID vaccine with the Colorado Public Health Department.
And that was a great calling for you. You felt like that you had the skills and you had the time and you wanted to do what you could to keep people healthy.
You bet. They needed doctors and they needed people to give the shots, and I was available. And it was a fulfilling position for me.
Tell us how you got started in music.
Well, music has always been an important part of our life. Growing up, there was always music in our house. There were songs that my mom liked to play on her record player. Which was like Three Coins in a Fountain, Doris Day song, Que Sera, Sera, Whatever Will Be, Will Be. And so I remember those songs, you know, flowing through our house. And in those days, you know, that was 1954, there was no public education for kindergarten. But my mother was anxious to get me started on learning, and so she enrolled me in a dance and music class when I was 5 years old, and I was on that path until I was in second grade, and then I was focused on baseball from then on.
So the dance that I know about is that you learned how to tap dance. Is that right?
I took tap lessons and ballet, and I liked tap better because it seemed more of a masculine thing for me to be doing. Mm-hmm. And we also, when I did a recital, I would sing along with my tap dance, and that was the beginning.
Wow. And this goes back to Grandmommy's love for dancing and big band music with Granddaddy.
Yeah, they like I said, music was always a big part of our lives in the Marquardt family. And she wanted me to have the best as far as culture and arts. And just like when you were growing up, One of the rules we had in our house was you had to be involved in one arts program as well as one athletic program. And you did a number of things like karate. You did baseball. You did mm-hmm. swimming. You did tennis. And you also played in the band.
Right.
And your brother Tyrone, he was more of the interested in the athletic side of life, and his requirement was he had to participate in as well as athletics. He had to do an art program also, and he also chose the band to be a part of that.
He played the trumpet.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he wanted to play the saxophone. And when I played in jazz bands, I just loved screaming trumpets. I just loved that mm-hmm. asset that they brought to the music. And I encouraged him to play the trumpet, and he did.
And I played the saxophone.
And you played the saxophone, and I was happy to encourage you in that, and I remember going to your solo in an ensemble festival and hearing you play your solo. It was fantastic.
It was a lot of fun. Someday I hope to retire and get back to playing like you did.
Well, I look forward to that.
Okay, so you did tap dance, and in 1958 you were about 8 years old. That's when things started in choir at the church. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Trinity Lutheran Church was a small rural church and had a lot of the rural characteristics of a close-knit church family. And also they wanted to expand and have offerings for the youth. And so they started a youth choir. You had to be in third grade because they wanted you to be able to read the words, mm-hmm. And that was the main requirement. And so they invited me to sing in the choir, and I wanted to do that. And so we rehearsed on Saturdays, and the pastor's wife was the organist. And there was also a lady, Mrs. Schrader, that had vocal experience, and so she was the choir director, not only for the children's choir, but for the adult choir also. And so they must have been just like white sheets, you know, and just cut a hole like and had a little collar, and it was more like a poncho. You just pulled it on
right.
over your head. And a big red bow, mm-hmm. and that was our choir robe.
I've seen that on TV before.
Yeah,
other kids wearing that same style. So then that led you to a music theater opportunity. Take my life and let it be. Oh no, this is the song. Oh yeah, that you used to audition.
Mm-hmm. We were going somewhere as a family, out to eat or maybe to church or coming home from church, and I heard on the radio they were advertising a upcoming Broadway production that the local musical theater was going to put on. It was Damn Yankees, and. They said they were looking for participants, and you could come audition. And when the advertisement on the radio was over, I told my parents, I want to do that. I want to try out for this play. And they hadn't even paid any attention, of course, to the mm-hmm. what was on the radio. It was just noise. And so my mom did the research with the radio station of where to go, what you had to do. And so they required an audition and bring your own music. And the only music I had was my Vacation Bible School music book, mm-hmm. and we had just finished Bible school actually that summer, and so that song was fresh in my mind, and we sang it every day at Bible school, and take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And that was what I used to audition with.
And you got the part.
I got the part. I was in the chorus for Damn Yankees.
For Gotta Have Heart.
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles and miles of heart. Oh, it's fine to be a genius, of course.
Does that bring back a memory?
Absolutely. And, you know, you asked me earlier, what kind of songs influenced my life and what was my playlist when I was 9 years old. Well, that song has carried me through life, and I remember it. It's when your luck is batting zero, get your chin up off the floor. Mister, you can be a hero. You can open any door. There's nothing to it but to do it. And that was a driving force in my life. I remembered that all through high school and college and medical school. This is hard, but you can do it. All you have to do is
have heart.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. And during that production, something funny happened where you were standing in the wrong place at the wrong time. Tell us about that.
Well, it was a big production. The choir, the whole chorus was singing, and then as we were completing the song, the curtain was closing. And I guess for some reason I was just a little bit forward of the curtain, and the curtain closed behind me. And so the entire audience was there watching the stage. The curtain closed, and there's this one little kid just standing right in front of the curtain, and I couldn't find an opening in the curtain to go backstage.
Right, right.
And so it was an addition to the program that the audience enjoyed, but it was purely by accident.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, and then your next opportunity in production came when?
Well, let's see. What did we say after the...
Well, when you did Cowboy Joe, how did that come about?
Well, that was about when I was in fifth grade. I went to elementary school with a kid. His name was Jerry Brown, and he had a fantastic voice, even as a 10-year-old. And the music teacher that came to our school once a week to teach us music. And she wanted to feature him. He had such a natural talent. And so she featured him in this song, Ragtime Cowboy Joe. And she wanted to back up kind of a quartet to sing the chorus with him. And so
the toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep.
And so he sang that solo part.
He sang the solo part, and then the quartet background music was me and a couple of other guys, and it was, he always sings reggae music to the cattle as he swings back and forward in the saddle on a horse that is syncopated, gaited, and there's such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater, how they run when they hear the fellow's gone, because he's Western, folks all know he's a highfalutin, rootin', tootin' son of a gun from Arizona. Ragtime cowboy, syncopated cowboy, ragtime cowboy Joe.
That's great, even after all these years.
I know all the words.
Okay, and how did that influence the next step in your journey? This was all before you started band, right?
Right. Fifth grade was also a turning point for music in the public school system, because that in fifth grade you could elect to take music lessons, and the kids that chose that path, they went to band. I think we went every day I'm not sure. The people that weren't in the band, they went to art class. So art was an important part of public education in those days. Every kid got it. And music was also an important mm-hmm. part of public education in those days. And I went into the music program.
So tell us the beginning parts of that process, of what it was like for you that very first night when you were picking out which instrument you wanted to play.
Well, you know, it was another factor of I was just paying attention. Like the radio advertisement
right.
for the Broadway play. Also, for music, there was an announcement in school that said, you know, for those that are interested in music, there's going to be a program at one of the elementary schools that had a big cafeteria, and the band directors would be there to kind of help guide you to what instrument might be best for you based on the anatomy of your lips and your mouth and your teeth, and also to give you an idea, give the student an idea of what instrument they might like to play. And so I told my parents that I'd like to go to this introduction. And so my dad took me, and we went to the school cafeteria, and they had one of the music stores in town had a display of all kinds of musical instruments, and they had employees who were well-versed in music there, and the band director was there. And so we went, and I talked to the band director, and he looked in my mouth, and he said, you can play just about anything you'd like to play. So we moved on, and I told my dad I wanted to play the drums. And my dad, he grew up in the day in Chicago, and he loved music. And he and my mom went dancing in the big dance studios just about every week or every month. And but to live big band music,
mm-hmm.
and but. In those days, just like with our rock icons now, there was usually a problem with narcotics and substance abuse. And the drummers, he knew a couple drummers that particularly he thought of them as wild, crazy men. And he told me, he said, "You want to play the drums? Go in the backyard, get a stick, and beat on some tin cans. You don't need music lessons for that." And so the reason I wanted to play drums is because, you know, when I watched I Love Lucy on TV, the Ricky Ricardo band, they've always featured the drummer. And so that's what I wanted to be, the featured guy. And my dad said, no. And so do you want to know the story from there?
Well, we'll have to pick that up in the next segment.
Okay.
But before we end this bonus segment, I want you to tell us the joke about the drummer.
What joke is that?
Well, what do you call a drummer?
Oh, yeah, okay. So, I'm glad you brought that up. So in my musical career now as an adult, there's kind of humor among ourselves. And so what do you call a drummer that doesn't have a girlfriend?
Single?
Well, you call him that, but homeless.
Yeah. Because the thought is that they're always trying to get the next gig, and it doesn't pay very well.
Right.
Yeah. But something interesting that I remember about the drums is there was a program when I was in school. For some reason, we had the day off for a holiday or something. There was an event at the Rocket, the Eagle's Nest. the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And your band had a gig that day, and maybe that's why I went. I just don't remember the circumstances. But you were there with your band, and I was there, and you had your saxophone, but someone called over, "Hey, Terry," and then you got on the drums. And it was one of those slow songs where you had the brush on the drum.
On the snare drum and the cymbal.
Right. Yeah. So that was interesting to me. I was thinking, I didn't know Dad could play the drums.
Well, my infatuation with the drums continued, even though my dad didn't want me to play it. When in a rock and roll band that I played in when I was in high school, I basically my main instrument was bass guitar, electric bass. There was one song that we did that where the drummer was our featured soloist, So I played the drums while he took the front and sang that
song.
That's
great. We'll have to get back to the rest of your music history in the next segment.
Okay.
So stay tuned or check in with Talk Law Radio in the Saturday show. Stay tuned.